I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Just to give you an idea, see, back in the day, like I said, I got born again. That was through Apostle Joel, because I was born again in secondary school and totally backslided. And we ended up in America, and then some things happened. From Maryland, we ended up in New Jersey, started a job, and then my wife, there's this Lighthouse church, we have to go. I was like, okay, whatever. So, finally, see, sometimes some things have to happen in your life. I don't want to go there. This is a long story. So, we end up in this church. The first day we went, we were late. So, when we got there, the people were coming out. I said, look, they have closed. You don't get parking. All right, so let me go ahead. What time they start? So, we just went. So, the next Sunday, we came back. When I entered the church, we sat down. But when the man began to preach, you see, I've been to churches. I've told you before, I was born, my mother goes to Catholic, I was baptized Presbyterian, and confirmed Presbyterian, but was in a Methodist church, in the Methodist youth group. I even went to a Catholic church because I said the Methodists, they stay in church too long. So preaching there, I've heard preaching. Jehovah's Witness have come to talk to us now. But that day, when the man was speaking, let me just explain one thing to you. From that day, I thank enough times that I've missed church. Just because of the word. When he preaches, his lips, the words that come out of his mouth, those guys say, what's his name? King Solomon said, it's like what? Gold is like what? Golden apples in the setting of silver. So it's like, you see, when he speaks, wisdom. Even the articulation of the words. What? Anytime. At a point, just soon after that, my wife had to Ghana with the kids or something like that. So she went to Ghana. So I used to go to church alone. Hey, I still was going to church. When they closed church, I was just looking for, I just wanted to be there just because of the preaching. Amen. And now we have him for ourselves. Right here. And now not only is he a bishop, an apostle. One who has raised this church in America from its infancy to where we are right now. I did not use the word adulthood because we are still growing. Multiplying. Become a lot with all these pastors that he oversees in the Americas, North and what? South America, Central America, in the Caribbean. Yeah. I can't even understand how he gets to be here. So busy. Yeah. So busy. But we are humbled to have him in our presence. Amen. Amen. He's the father of the American church. Not only that, but he's also the chairman of the Bishop's Council. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we are in the presence of a very anointed and honored and precious servant of God. So why don't you rise up to your feet with a clap offering? Let us welcome our own Apostle Joel Obuobisa.
Hello.
All right. Amen. Are you glad you're here tonight? I am very happy to be here. Amen. God is doing great things in Oklahoma City. And it's better to join God than fight against Him. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing tonight, and thank you for another opportunity to share your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Lord, that you will turn on the lamp tonight. Let the light so shine, O God, that darkness is exposed and everyone comes to a place of illumination and the knowledge of the truth. We pray for the help and presence of the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you will guide us and lead us into all truth. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of your law tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. All right. Please be seated. Amen. I want to thank God for the opportunity to be here. Amen. And the opportunity to share with you. And I thank God for the life of your pastor, Reverend Michael. That is a good place to clap your hands properly. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, we thank God for their lives. They have been here for so many years. God has brought them here and they have served you. And actually, very soon, God will be moving them on to do other things. Amen. But it's not the end of God's work here. Do you understand? God is still moving here. The fact that God is moving them doesn't mean God has stopped moving himself here. Do you understand? And I believe that God is still doing wonderful things. And if you guys will listen especially to the things I've been sharing with you, you will be amazed at the transformation and the blessing that will come upon this church, even in the absence of your pastor. Hallelujah. And as for pastors, they come and they go. And in our church, pastors move around. Do you see what I'm saying? You may have someone for your pastor today, and the next time, somebody else will be your pastor. But what it is that we are one big family around the world. And God has given us a bunch of pastors who together pastor all of us around the world. So at different seasons, you may find different ones. And every one of them has a gift. Do you see what I'm saying? Every one of them has a gift. And the gift is activated by God. Because God is the one feeding you. Have you ever read Psalm 23 and verse 1? He says, who is the shepherd? The Lord is the shepherd. Isn't it? The Lord is the shepherd. But the person the Lord may use may change. from person to person, the Lord will be changing the people, but He is the one behind it. And He's the one feeding you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even though the person you see may change, the one who is behind the feeding, He's still continuing. So He gives grace to anyone that He chooses and anyone that He uses. Do you understand? If I order pizza for you and the delivery man comes to your house and you collect it from the delivery man, who has fed you? Why not the delivery man? Do you understand? And the delivery man will change from order to order. But the one who is ordering the pizza, so long as you keep having him, you're cool. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So I believe that God has used your pastors, Pastor Michael and Lady Pastor Angela. God, these are people who can love as though they give birth to you. They have 4 children of their own. I don't know where they find the capacity to add extra people. Do you get it? To listen to people, to talk to people, to counsel people, when most likely they've been talking all day. I mean, if you have 4 kids, you will have something to say in your house. Every moment there's somebody who must stop it, someone who must go to bed, someone who must wake up, someone who must eat their food, someone who must stop making a mess, you know. And when you've been talking, after a while, you just want to rest. Then they come here and the talking actually begins. You know, and I don't want you guys to take it for granted. I think that this couple has been good to you. Been a blessing to you. Amen. And it's a good place to appreciate them and to thank God for allowing them to share this part of their lives with you. Hallelujah. And it's not the end. They are leaving this place, but they are not leaving your lives. Amen. Do you understand? In today's world, you don't have to be in the same place with someone to relate with them. You know, there are some of you that I relate with. I mean, I don't think you've even seen me in a year or 2 years even. But you're still my friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so don't limit it to a physical Sunday to Sunday presence here. But understand that God has blessed you with a relationship. God, relationships are very important. When God gives or places someone in your life, do you get it? Don't throw them away, because God has a reason for putting the person in your life. And sometimes God puts the person in your life way ahead of the reason why He puts the person in. Because you see, relationships are like trees. They must mature before they bear the fruit. Do you get it? If you want to eat fruit off a tree tomorrow, you don't plant it today. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to have planted it some years ago for that tree to yield its fruit today. So sometimes God will bring someone into your life and bring the person way ahead of the time that His most important purpose in your life will be manifest. And because it takes so long, many times people even destroy the relationships before the relationship yields what it is supposed to yield. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes people destroy relationships because they assume that everybody in their life, if you can't marry the person, then the person is not for your life. Do you get it? But don't try to turn every relationship that comes into your life into a romantic relationship. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. So many people destroy relationships because they feel that if it's not a relationship for marriage, what is the use? Do you get it? But the purpose is not always for marriage. How many people can you marry? Only one. Do you get it? And yet there are many more people that God places in your life, not for the purpose of marriage, or for the purpose of romance, but sometimes for the person to be a brother. Do you understand? A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes the person is supposed to be a sister to you. Some of you are born as only children. Some of you have one brother, one sister, but you're not even close to them. But in the church, the Bible says you can have a friend. He's called a friend, but he sticks closer than a brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So, God gives us relationships that we must cherish. And sometimes the relationships are tested by separation and tested by distance. Some of you don't know how to relate over distance. It's out of sight, out of mind. I don't see you. I don't need you. That's not how to relate with people. Do you get it? But you must learn how to mature. You must mature. When you are in a family, you don't have to be in the same place to be my brother. Do you get it? I have four brothers. One of them is in Sydney, Australia. Another one is in Rwanda. Then another one is in Ghana. So three brothers. And then I am here. So I have a sister also in Switzerland. So there are four or five of us. How many did I mention? It's enough. A lot. do you get it? Now, I don't live in the same place with them. I hardly am in the same place with any of them for more than just a few days. Do you get it? But they are still my brother, still my sister. Whenever we meet, we just continue from where we left off. Do you get it? The relationship does not depend on proximity. Do you get it? They don't have to be living next door to me. They don't have to see me every Sunday to be my brother or to be my sister. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so if God says you can have a friend that will stick closer than a brother, then it means that you can have a friendship that depends not on proximity or closeness or anything like that, but that this person is my friend. And that's it. My best friend lives in the UK. And I hardly see him. And these days we both are so busy that we hardly get to talk. You know, but we know that we are best friends. And you know how you get that text message occasionally that you just wonder, who can I share this with? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And you know exactly where this text message or this joke must go. Because this is the one person who understands you. This is the one person who loves you. This is the one person who relates with you unconditionally. And that is the friendship that God has blessed you with. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so I want to encourage you to not lose your relationship with your pastors just because they are going away. Are you getting what I'm saying? But cherish the relationship. Then the next thing you must do is to let the church continue and to do even better than it was when they were here. If you want to have a true testimony and you want to really honor them by making their work worthwhile. Do you follow what I'm saying? That their work here was not in vain. Do you get it? If somebody leaves and the work he was doing dies, then it means he didn't do well. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. If you have a child that you cannot leave behind, you can't go anywhere without that child. Do you think you're raising a proper child? Huh? Yes. Can you imagine that you marry somebody and then when you marry the person, you go, mommy! Your husband. You are now on honeymoon after the wedding. As soon as you get to your honeymoon room, and then you ask him, what is wrong? I miss my mommy. You will call your mother and say, mama, I married an idiot. Come and get this idiot out of this room. Good parents. parenting is to be able to raise children who flourish without you. Every parent is proud of his child who does so well without him. So if you want to make these people proud, then flourish without them. Do you understand? Do well without them. Augment your efforts. Grow up. Mature. Do more than when they were here. And they will be proud of you. Because it is only then that we can say, oh, wow, Pastor Michael and Lady Pastor Angela did such a great job in Oklahoma City. Are you getting it? But if when they leave, you let the work go down, if you pack your bags because your pastor is not here, and you say, well, they are gone, so I'm also gone. Do you get it? Then you are actually proving that the work they did was nothing. Jesus came to this earth, he preached for only 3 years, and then he died and left. The work that he started has continued up to now. Do you understand? That is how we know excellent work. Excellent work is work that lives on beyond the one who did it. Hallelujah. And I believe they have done excellent work here. And you guys are the proof of it. Does it make sense? You guys are the proof of it. So make it happen. Amen. All of you who needed phone calls before you come to church, you are now going to make phone calls for others to come to church. Do you see what I'm saying? All of you who had the motto, no ride, no church. Now you are going to get into your ride and go and give other people rides to church. Do you follow what I'm saying? All of you who didn't used to come so often or who came and did nothing in the church, it is now time for you to rise up and show responsibility and maturity by asking, now that our pastor is not here, what can I also do? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it's now time for you to rise up and say, what can I do? And then you also contribute what you can to make the work do well. Hallelujah. Everybody can do something. I was really blessed when I watched Asida. Was that Asida? Yes, I saw her leading the little kids. She's only 13 years old. But at 13, she's a kid herself. But other people are more kiddy than her. Do you get it? That's how the house of God is. You may not think that you are any mature person or anything. You may be right. But I tell you, there's always someone who is more kiddy than you. Do you get it? Yeah, you may not see yourself as some spiritual guru. That is fine. You may be right. But there's always someone who can benefit from what you already know. Well, to that person, you are a teacher. To that person, you are a pro. To that person, you are big and you are great. So you see, all those little kids were just watching her as she was just doing the thing and just showing them it's a beautiful day. And then they were all, you know, and all just having it and just all dancing. Do you get it? The 13-year-old. But that girl also has a mama who tells her what to do. Are you following what I'm saying? So no one should look down on themselves. No one should belittle themselves. Everybody should rise up and pitch in. Amen. Everybody should rise up and do what? Pitch in. Everybody should contribute. Everybody should rise. Now, coming to church even regularly is now more important than ever. Do you get it? It's now more important than ever. Before, if you don't come, pastor will be here. So you can decide that I won't come today. But now your thinking has to change. That now is not pastor. It's me. I have to be there for others to come and meet me. Can I have an amen? Yeah. So how many can give me the assurance that when your pastors come here again, they will come and find a church growing and flourishing and doing much better than it was when they were here? Raise up your hand if you believe that. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you make that promise that as far as it depends on you, you are going to rise up and do your best? Amen. So that your pastors can rejoice. Amen. They will love to come and visit you because they will know that they are not coming to an empty church. They are coming to find new people. You when you see them, then at the end of the service, you know, you bring some people. So, Pastor, I want to introduce this lady. You know, her name, you know how my name is Samantha. This is Samantha number two. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, Samantha number two. I mean, you can call her Sam's. Yeah, Sam's Club. Your pastor must come here and be introduced to new people, new names. So, Pastor, these ones, you don't know them. This guy's name is Johnny. You know, this one's name is Jack. That lady over there is Jackie, you know, and that one is Julia, you know. Pastor, I want to introduce you to Julia. You just went to Julia is the one who was singing the solo. And as he'd be sitting there, he'll be whispering, who's that one over there? You know, it's a sign that the church has new life. New people are coming, and that the pastor did a great job. Can I have an amen? Amen. I prophesy that will be your lot in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So you miss them, I'm sure, but if you miss them, just go and visit them. Do you see what I'm saying? I remember one time when I had to move. I was asked to move from one place to another place. And when I was going, here was one lady. I mean, the day it was announced, here was one lady who came up to me and she was crying and saying that I'm leaving. And she was feeling very sad. And I just looked at her. Said, by you, even when I was here, you won't come to church. True. I mean, when I was here, you don't come to church. I was sitting here. I come here. And she said, hey, Pastor, it's true, but it was comforting to know you are here. You get it? As she was at home, she said it was comforting to know that I am standing in the empty room waiting for her. You see? But I just want you to know that there will not be an empty room. Yeah. Amen. So long as God is still working, God is going to do his work. Amen. Amen. So we have asked Brother Frank over here to lead the church. Amen. Yeah. But we will be leading the church through him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We will be leading the church through him. So we want you to respond to him as though you're responding to us. Does it make sense? Yes. Don't fight him. If you fight him, you'll be fighting all of us. You get it? And if you fight us, you fight what is behind us. And trust me, what is behind us is bigger than any fight you can put up. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus said, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him that sent me. Do you understand? When God is doing something, don't stand in his way. Do you get it? Even if it doesn't sit well with you, just learn to accept it. Hello? Yes, just learn to accept it and flow. Because as for God's wisdom, it always unfolds. And soon you start to see, this is what God was doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? As for God's wisdom, it's always mysterious. We cannot always understand it from the beginning. But we just flow with it. Are you getting it? And when you flow with it, you'll be surprised where it leads. And you'll be surprised what God will do. Amen. So how many are going to love Brother Frank, right? He's gonna be like a minister shepherd. Do you understand? Right now, he's a shepherd. In our church, we have shepherds. Shepherds are people that we train. They are servants in the house. We send them. They do different jobs. They wait after church for meetings. We watch videos with them. We travel with them. We go to camps with them. We teach them. So that's how Jesus taught his disciples. You get it? So if you wonder, when did they go to Bible school that they are coming to lead the church? Why is he coming to lead the church? Where is his Bible school certificate? And you're starting to say all these wonderful things, you know. You should ask Jesus Christ, when did he take Peter to Bible school? When did he take Apostle Peter and all these guys? What time did they go to the Bible school? Because when you start reading, we were there when he called Peter from day one, isn't it? And even on the cross, at the day Jesus was arrested, even the way Peter was behaving, we could see that he was not fully together yet, isn't it? Can you imagine that somebody who says, I don't know this pastor, and they are leaving the church for him? So Jesus left the church for someone who was much worse than Frank. What do you think? Yeah? Do you agree with me? I mean, you are going to die after being here and preaching and teaching. Then when you identify one person you want to leave the church for, he is the one person who says, me, I didn't know this man at all. Will you not be even worried? So if I were Jesus Christ after resurrecting from the dead, I'll call the disciples to say, Peter, you are fired. You know something? I had a plan that I was going to make you the main guy, but I changed my mind. I changed now Bartholomew. He is going to be the leader, not you, Peter. Yeah. How can you say you don't know me? You see, but rather he sent a message when he showed himself to this. He said, go and tell Peter, go and tell the disciples. Then he mentioned Peter's name in particular. He said, go and tell the disciples and Peter that I still believe in him. Go tell him that I'm around. And he left Peter with the church. How many can see that Peter didn't let Jesus down? How many can see that Jesus made the right choice? In spite of Peter's faults, made the right choice. So you may have known Peter as somebody who denied Christ and be holding firmly to that revelation that this guy, he's a bad guy. He only denied Christ. But you don't know that God can often see in people things that are greater than the mistakes they are known for. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when God chooses someone, you may not understand why God likes someone in spite of a very obvious flaw which is very glaring in your eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God chooses people for what he can see in them, which suits the purpose he's choosing them for. Not that he can't see other faults, but they don't matter to him as much as the strength he sees in the people. Even you are like that. Do you understand? If you want someone who can cook for you, and I bring you someone who cooks, you get it? Then another person comes and says, but your cook doesn't drive. What are you going to say? Say, so what? The person who cooks for me doesn't drive. So what? I'm looking for someone who can cook. And I found someone who can cook. It's true that he can't drive. But you may not understand what other provision I've made for driving, which makes me still choose this cook in spite of the fact that he can't drive. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. Some of you have gone to buy a second-hand car. The speedometer doesn't work. But you have bought it. Even some people, yes, some people have gone to buy a car that is smashed. As though you don't know where car dealership is. You know where they sell new cars. But you have gone to buy a car that is smashed. Do you get it? and you pay a tow truck driver to bring it to you. So you bring the car to me. Bring the car to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. It is because you can see something in the car that other people cannot see. Even though it is smashed, you can see a future in it that other people cannot see. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you should be careful when you see somebody who has a fault. Don't talk too much about people's faults. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't talk too much about, especially someone that God has chosen in spite of his faults. Does it make sense? Yes. When God has chosen someone, do you think that when God is choosing someone, he cannot see the faults? Yes. Can you imagine when you buy your auction car and then I chase you as you are going, I chase you. You get it. You turn to the person and say, so what? It's none of your business. But do you think I didn't see that the car was smashed before I bought it? Do you know why we all buy auction cars and accident cars? Because they often cost less. Perfect things always cost more and are harder to obtain. That is why God often uses people with faults. Amen. Because the people who don't have faults are often not available to God to use. They feel too big. They feel too good. They feel like they know everything. They are so proud. So God cannot easily have such people. So sometimes God will find someone who is limping. Someone who has problems. And God will say, I like that one. Because sometimes your faults also make you humble. Is it not true? Yeah. When you enter a room and you see everybody knows you. You don't talk too much. Just be humble. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the fact that you know the person, you know the person's history, you've been with the person, you may know his fault, doesn't mean that God... Because when God arises on the person, everything changes. You may know the person, but when God arises in him, everything changes. You'll be surprised that it's the same person, but everything has changed. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you see a pair of gloves lying on the counter, they are fingers that can do nothing. But I tell you that when I wear them, those same gloves can do a whole lot. Do you understand? It's because of who is wearing them. So when God appoints someone, God is like God has put on that person like a glove. And from that point on, you have to be careful how you relate with the person. Because if you get him, God will get you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I'm praying that all of you would be supportive and you will love him and support him and receive him as someone that we have given to you. Do you get it? And as we guide him, he will also lead and guide you to what God has appointed for you. And in the end, our church will flourish. The church will be strong. The church will not die. When your pastor comes to visit, he will say, wow. Then he will say, it's good I left. Yes, because one day I went to one of the churches I left, and when I saw the way the place was jamming, I said, it's good I left. It's good I left. Because when I left, the church rather began to do well. Do you see what? It's because the church belongs to God. It's not for any of us. It belongs to God. And it does as well as God wants it to do. So this church is going to flourish. In Jesus' name. Say amen. All right. So that's the first part of my sermon. Amen. Do you have time for me to preach another second one? Okay, now let me just continue and end what I've been sharing with you about the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Amen. That God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 18. It says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So God has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. So you have a ministry of reconciliation. Do you get it? And I have a ministry of what? Reconciliation. Every believer has, in fact, let's go back to verse 17, because when you read the two together, then you know he's actually talking about you, or referring to you. Amen. Right. So he said, therefore, verse 17, therefore, if any man, that means anybody, do you get it? There are no exceptions to this rule. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you get it? There are no refurbished creatures in Christ. Did you see that? Everybody in Christ is a brand new creature. Look, if you know someone who comes to know the Lord, you better believe that that person is a new person. Do you get what I'm saying? He is a new person. He's a new creature. He's not a patched up creature. He's not a repainted creature. He said that he is a new creature. Any man at all, no matter how bad he is, he's a new creature. Then he says, old things are passed away. So God himself understands that there are old things. Do you get it? But he said, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Amen. Then he says, all things are of God. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. All things are become new. So learn to go past the old things. Tell somebody, I'm putting the old things behind me. Yeah, tell the person, you don't have to keep reminding me of my past. Ah, when you finish, add, ah. Tell the person, don't remind me of my past. Ah. Yes. Too much. All things are passed away. Then he says, all things are become new. Amen. Then he says, now you are living in an era where all things are of God. Do you see? Who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus? And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So you have a ministry of reconciliation. That makes you a minister. Amen. You have a ministry of reconciliation. Do you get it? It is a minister who has a ministry. Just like a baker has a bakery. Do you get it? So God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, and everybody must consider themselves as a minister. Do you get it? Don't spook yourselves out of your ministry by asking, am I called? Do you get it? What calling again are you looking for? Do you get it? What calling again are you looking for? Why do you want to make the thing complex? Amen. It's like a bride who asks her husband after the wedding, so am I your wife? Do you get it? The question should, he's going to ask her, what do you think? You get it? What do you think? You think this is a rehearsal or what? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he said he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And we must take our ministry seriously. Hallelujah. We must take our ministry of reconciliation seriously. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right? God has given all of us, so every one of us is a minister. See yourself as a minister. Not just your pastors, but you are also a minister. Hallelujah. Amen. And God can use you to minister to people. Amen. God will use you to minister to people. John chapter 16 and verse 15. John chapter 16 and verse 15. I'm going to share all these verses with you. Today is the last night, so I'll share any verse I know in my head. I'll just finish and share it with you. Nancy, is that a good policy? A good policy. Okay. All right. So in John 15 and 16, it says, "You have not chosen me." Do you get it? So it means what you think about it doesn't really matter. Because you didn't choose him. He chose you. Are you getting it? "You have not chosen me, but what? I have chosen you and ordained you." Can you see that again? Do you realize that he didn't have to put the word ordained over there? He could just have said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you should go forth." Do you get it? But the Lord is putting that word there. For those who are very worried about whether you are ordained or not. Are you getting the picture? So they say, "Pastor Frank, Brother Frank is now going to be the leader of the church. Is he ordained? Is he called? Has he been to Bible school? Is he ordained?" Look at it. Can you see that? He's not the only one God has ordained. God has ordained you too. Do you understand? God has ordained you too. He says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should do what? Go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Hallelujah. Listen, if the first part of the verse doesn't get you going, I hope that the last part of the verse will get you going. Do you get it? Because many of us here cannot afford for our prayers not to be answered. True or false? How many of you have things on your heart that you cannot afford? If God does not answer that prayer, it will be very costly for you. Is it true or false? Yes. So you better get going. You better understand that God has chosen you and God has ordained you. Look, these are some of the most basic scriptures in the Bible. It can't get more true than that. God has chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You get it? That's the reason for follow-up. That's the reason for visitation. That's the reason why we call our church members. When we call our church members, when we're looking for people who haven't been to church for a while, we're not being nosy. We're not being inquisitive. We're not trying to, you know, meddle in other people's business. But we're trying for the fruits that we bore to remain. Do you see what I'm saying? Because God didn't only send us to bear fruit. He wants the fruit we bore to remain. Hallelujah. That is why the church must remain. It's not enough that Reverend Michael came to start a church here, but that the church he started must remain. Can I have an amen? Amen. And that is why we have church. Church is where we store the fruit so that the fruit doesn't go bad. Every church is like a refrigerator. You go shopping and then you bring it and you put it in the refrigerator, and so that the things you went to buy will remain. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the church, the singing, the prayers, the dancing in the church, all of them have a preserving effect on our Christian life. The encouragement, the preaching, the teaching, all of it together is supposed to ensure that the fruit remains. Can I have an amen? Right? So that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You get it? He says, so that whatsoever, you must do it, that whatsoever. Do you get it? It means the latter one depends on the former one. So one of the reasons for prayers not being answered is fruitlessness. One of the reasons why we pray and we don't get answers is because we are fruitless. Can you agree with that? Did you do a little comprehension in school? That's what it's saying. Amen. So I want you to decide that you're going to be a fruit bearer in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. Right? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Have you found Ephesians chapter 2? And verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved. Can you see that? This is for people who are saved. He's explaining how you got saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That means believing, right? Then he says, and that not of yourselves. Your salvation is not because you are good. Just because someone is quiet doesn't mean they are good. Quietness is not the same as salvation. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. But it says it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Amen. Verse 9. It says that, who's bringing verse 9? It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, God knew that if he lets salvation depend on what we do, then some people will do better than others and some will be more saved than others. Do you get it? So you look at Kim over here. She looks very proper. She looks like somebody who is very saved. You get it? Then you go to Jean-Jacques. Start to wonder. Say this one. The salvation didn't quite work. You get it? So God has removed salvation from that realm. Amen. So that it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. People are proud. Anytime people do better than others, they want them to see. Yeah, they want them to see. Hey, even when somebody has washed his car and your car is dirty, he wants you to see it. Yes. He wants you to see that his car is new. His car is fresh. You play the music, sometimes even loud, just so you turn and look. And when you look, he will just give you a... Check my car out. Do you get the idea? So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? Then look at the next verse. Verse 10 is the verse you must not forget. For we are his workmanship. Do you understand that? It means we are what he did, isn't it? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto what? Unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. So God had something in mind that we should walk in them. And then he created us in Christ Jesus to do those good works. Do you understand? The good works they are referring to here are not good works like providing water and so on. Do you understand? Those good works don't require creation in Christ to do. Do you get it? Otherwise, Red Cross will be a church. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because Red Cross does a lot of good works. But I'm saying that those kinds of good works, humanitarian work, you know, don't require creation in Christ to do. So that tells you that the good works he is referring to is the good work that only people who have been washed by the blood can do. It is the good work of introducing others to the same blood that has washed you. The good work of leading other people to Christ. That is the reason on the first day I was explaining to you that you need to understand why you've been saved and left here. Because if you can't explain why you've been saved and left here, then something is wrong. Do you get it? Something is wrong. It's either that you are not saved, your salvation is not real, or if you are truly saved and you are still here, then you're crazy. Because being here is not easy. Today alone, I'm sure you can count how many times a lot of bad thoughts have occurred to you. And that's only Friday. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So being here is not easy. And God must have a reason why he has left us here. And this verse is explaining it. That he created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so God has prepared us for good works. That's the work, the what the church must understand. That's what the church must understand. That it is our purpose. Our mission is not to gather people for parties. We're not supposed to be having parties in turns. You see, sometimes you go to a church and people are offended. They're offended because they did it for her, they didn't do it for me. When it was my turn, only this group of people came. And when it was her turn, I went out, even I went to open the door and so on. And we're offended by so many things. But that's not the purpose of the church. The church is not for gathering and having parties. We may have fellowship as a side benefit, but it is not the reason why we come together. When you get a job, you start working, you see that there's coffee also for free. Do you get it? Huh? But now, since you saw this coffee in the office, when you arrive at the work, you just go to the coffee room. And you stay in the coffee room the whole time. So the boss was just passing by. And then he saw you at 8 o'clock. He thought you were just taking a coffee and coming back. He comes back 10 o'clock. You are still back at the coffee. And he comes by 12 o'clock. You are still drinking coffee. Soon they'll call you my friend. And they'll tell you, listen, the coffee is here, but it's not the reason why you are here. A long time ago, I used to work in some place and I had a friend. I tell you, the office milk. He used to bring cornflakes from home to come and use the office milk. You see, he arrives at the office with a plastic bag with cornflakes. As soon as he puts his briefcase or whatever, he'll put his bag down. Then he goes to round to the kitchen. He's going to look for the office milk. Hey! You are in love with the office milk. It's the wrong thing. You are falling in love with the wrong thing. You did not come here because of the office milk. Even though while you are here, you have access to the milk. But now you're spending too much time. All your discussions about the office milk. You say the milk, but why don't they just start by 2%? You get it? So last week they had full cream. Now this week is fat free. Fat free is not good for me. No. And also, the office milk, can they not buy organic? You know more about the office milk than you know about the job you were hired to do. And that's how the church becomes. You find people in the church, they know more stories about people in the church. They can tell and narrate stories, narrate incidents, and narrate the sequence and how it unfolded. And they don't know anything, a real purpose for which God has called us to. They cannot even lead someone to Christ. They cannot explain the message of salvation to someone. Hallelujah. He created us unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. This is what God intends for us to do. Can I have an amen? And then when you jump to Ephesians chapter 4, we read that yesterday, chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, he gave some apostles and some what? Prophets. Now, this is the verse we read from another version, right? So bring that other version. He said, he gave some. You can give us the New American Standard Version. New American Standard Version. It says, now these, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, isn't it? Verse 12, he says, for equipping of the saints for the work of what? So why do you have a pastor? The answer is there, isn't it? So answer my question. Why do you have a pastor? Verse 12. For what? Of the saints for the work. Why do you have a prophet? Why do you have a teacher? And why do you have apostles? What about evangelists? Do you see? So no matter what a person's calling is, it must lead to the ultimate purpose. Whether the person's calling is a pastor, or the person's calling is to be an apostle. If you're an apostle, it means you go around, you start churches, you help churches to be established, and so on. It must lead to the equipping of the saints for the work of service. If you're a pastor, your work is more to feed the people, to preach to them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. You think about it. When you encourage somebody, what is the purpose? When you are encouraged, you become strong. For what? Are you getting what I'm saying? You become strong for what? So you start to see that the reason why people need to be encouraged is encouraged to do what they were called to do. Amen. So if you have a pastor, the pastor's job is to preach to you and to feed you and to pray with you and to visit you and to, you know, be like a mother or a father to you. In the end, it must lead to equipping you for what? The works of service. If you have a prophet, his job is not just to see visions. If you have a prophet who only sees dwarfs, do you see what I'm saying? That every time he just only sees mystical things. You see, the church is a little deceived today. You get it? The church is a little deceived today that one of the beautiful gifts that God gave to us, which is the gift of a prophet. You get it? It's so abused today that even when you say prophet, it's like you're mentioning a bad name. You get it? But one of the top gifts, one of the senior gifts you can find in the house of the Lord is the gift of a prophet. Someone who can see and hear. Yes. And when someone's prophetic gift is working properly, it should lead to the equipping of the saints for what? The work of the saints. Not spooking them, confusing them, letting them bring you all their money, or sleeping with them, or doing mystical things as we have come to know today in the church. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? Right? I just want you to see it for yourself right there. He says God mentions all the gifts and says the gifts are for what? Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. If you have a teacher, he said the teacher's job is equipping the saints for the work of service. So when you go to church and there's just teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching, and nobody tells you that you're supposed to get out there, do something, then the teaching gift has malfunctioned. It's failed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. I want you people here to see that the purpose of this gathering is to get you ready for work. The purpose for the Sunday to Sunday gathering is to get you ready, is to equip you, is to help you know more, is to strengthen you, is to pray for you, and send you out there. The work is not here. The work is not here. This place is for regrouping, encouraging ourselves to go back out there. That's where the work is. Say amen.
Amen.
That is what God has called us to do. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And I can tell you that if we do it, God will bless us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me share with you two benefits that will come to this church if it becomes a soul-winning church. Amen. Are you learning something? Two benefits that will come, two or three, we'll see. Amen. Number one, when you are doing the ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says you are wise. Do you get it? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Can you see it? Let's read it. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. The fruit of the righteous, is a tree of life, He who is wise, he who is what? Wise wins souls. So he who does not win souls, let's start from there, is not wise. Is not smart. Is not wise. Means what? It's not wise that it means what? What is it? It means he who does not win souls is a fool. He who does not win souls is a fool. He who does not do outreach is a fool. He who does not organize programs to try to go places and win souls is a fool. Or if you prefer, is not wise. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is not wise. I see God's wisdom coming upon you from tonight in the name of Jesus. As you become a soul winner, God is going to open unto you his wisdom. You're going to think above your age. You're going to think above your peers. You will outsmart your peers. God will open unto you his good treasure. Because you are doing what he created you in Christ Jesus to do. God mentions Christ Jesus on purpose because it cost him a lot. Christ Jesus, anytime you hear his name, Christ Jesus, that is God's highest price that he paid to get anybody to be saved. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can be a soul winner. And he says, if you win souls, you are wise. You are wise. You are wise. Anytime you see somebody and you start to engage the person and you want to engage the person in a conversation about salvation, your wisdom has started showing forth. Amen? Wisdom is not hiding money under your bed. Mattress, this person is very wise. She doesn't take her money to the bank. She hides it under her mattress. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is not tricking people. Wisdom is not making a number of people think you're going to marry them and then swerving them. And feeling good about it. That you have outsmarted somebody. As for those kinds of things, they are seeds you sow, which in time grow into trees that come and shade your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So wisdom is in soul winning. Hallelujah. And as you win souls, the Bible says, you are wise. Hallelujah. The next one, number two, winning souls or practicing the ministry of reconciliation makes your church and your life beautiful. It makes your church and your life beautiful. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35. Everybody read that. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35.
The wise will inherit land.
It says the wise will. Give me the King James again. Just. King James again. Right? Proverbs chapter 3. And verse, right? Okay, read it. 1, 2, 3, go. The wise. Wow. Fools will be promoted to shame. But the wise shall inherit what? Glory. Glory means beauty. Hallelujah. This church is going to be beautiful. Once we start winning souls. It will be a pleasurable place to come to. When you remember that we have a service this Sunday or this Wednesday, you start to feel happy. The church will be beautiful again. I said the church will be beautiful. Church will be beautiful. To the beauty of many churches is gone. This is rather a reminder of suffering and pain and gossip and other so many unfortunate things which should not be associated with church. But you know, as we go to soul winning, the church will become beautiful. I tell you, you come to church, if you don't come for a while, you see, you come to church and then somebody is going to try to usher you. Yeah. You who used to be the former usher. When you come to church, you see some new person will start to usher you. And the person will say, my name is so-and-so. Are you here for the first time? And you might get irritated. You get it? Yeah. Because other people have come to take your place. What you have left, other people have come to take it up. Do you understand? Look, if we win souls, we're going to bring talented people into the church. You'll be surprised that God will send you great musicians. People who can play with skill. Yes. You just wonder, where did all these people come from? The more the church grows, the more talents, the more of a variety of gifts we start to experience. Yes. God is going to send us people who are gifted with children like Brother Hope. Yes. Yeah. People who know the language of a child, how to get to a child's heart. Brother Hope has left a mark on my sons up to now. Yes. Because he used to teach them when we go for camps, when they were just little like that. They always remember him. Yeah. God will bring us more Brother Hopes. Yeah. Or more Brothers Hope. Amen. God will bring us more people like him. Gifted people. Not everybody is gifted with children. A lot of people can have them. That's it. And they can't deal with them. They only know how to scream at them. How to throw things at them. You should see some people trying to relate with their kids. They throw anything they can find. Give first warning. Stop it. Second warning. Third warning. Knockout. Child is unconscious. They knock you out. Yeah. Some people just can't. This, when they look at the child, they can see the child. They can see the child's father. You see, the foolishness of your father has come upon you. But there are some people, God has given them a special heart for children. They have patience for children. They know how to talk to children. They know how to get children to do things. One of the signs that your child has a good teacher is when he keeps mentioning the teacher's name. Yeah. When the person keeps saying, but teacher so-and-so said we shouldn't do this. When you tell the child to do something and they say, but teacher said we should, it's a sign that that teacher has found a place in his heart. We need such people. Yeah. We need people, skilled dancers. Hey. Because now our church is moving more into the arts. And apply every gift that God has given to us. So you're going to see more dancing in the church. Yeah. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. More. Yeah. You ain't seen moves. You're going to start seeing moves. Moves in the church. Moves in the church. Yes. The other day, I was just looking at a chart. I think it's a picture. I even took a picture of it on my phone or something like that. It was listing a number of things that, and the calories you use doing them. I mean, you lose when you do them. Right? And I was looking at all the things. There were about 10 things. And I noticed that 8 of them are things we do in church. Wow. Yes. 8 of the 10 things that make people lose calories are things we do in church. From lifting up of hands, to standing, to dancing. You know, then I started to see that God has actually created your health plan. Yeah, just throwing you into the church. If only you will flow and do the things that you are told to do, you'll be surprised that it's not just your spirit that is being helped, but your body is actually being helped. Yes. Even preaching. Since I started preaching, you know, the other day I said I was going to keep my phone in my pocket when I'm preaching just to see how many steps I take. But since I started preaching, I've been going here to here and here to here. How many steps do you think I'll take by the time I finish preaching? You get it? So you think that I'm getting tired, but I'm getting healthier as I preach to you. So you don't understand God's wisdom. Do you get it? You think that God always needs you on a treadmill, but he doesn't. Maybe if you just go on outreach. Yes, just walking and going from person to person. Because when you're going on outreach, you don't ride a car. Yeah, you walk. You walk, distributing tracts and just moving and just moving and just moving. You'll be surprised that even that is taking some weight off your body. You have no idea that silently your outreach is keeping you healthier. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God will make the church beautiful. The church will be interesting. When you have new people in the church becomes interesting. Yes. To be exciting to come to the church. Yes. Come to the church, you see some handsome guy. He's come to church. Yeah. Yeah. You see him, broad-chested guy. Man. You just wonder, where's this guy from? So that's Desiree's convert. When Desiree came around for a month, she went on outreach. That's the convert she brought to the church. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So winning souls will make your life beautiful. I said it will make your life what? It will make the church beautiful. Hallelujah. And fun to belong to. Amen. Then the next thing is winning souls makes you do something which is more important than anything else in the world. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16. Verse 26, it says, for what shall it profit a man? Or what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Hallelujah. Now it says, what does a man profit? What is the profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? So if you lose your soul, if we lose a soul, we have lost more than the world. Do you understand? That means if you win a soul, you have won more than the whole world. Are you getting it? Yes, you've won more than the whole world if you win a soul. This is Christ and his estimate of a soul. Christ is the one who is telling us the value of a soul. That if you can get one person to receive Jesus as his Lord and his Savior, you have won more than the whole world. It doesn't matter that you don't have money in the bank. You have achieved more than the whole world. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Then the next one, which we shouldn't be surprised at, is that soul winning is the only job that guarantees wages. It guarantees wages. Read John chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months when cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Isn't it? And he that reapeth receiveth what? Wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Hallelujah. Can you see that? It says, he that reapeth receiveth what? Wages. and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. So that means the two are not the same. The wages we are talking about here are not what you will get when you get to heaven. Because what you will get when you get to heaven, fruit unto eternal life, isn't it? Yeah. So when you die and you go to heaven, you're going to have fruit that you are bringing to eternal life. So wages is not for eternal life. Wages are God's blessings to you while you are here on earth. Look, I'm explaining to you why many Christians are poor. Why many Christians struggle with money, struggle with so many things, because we are not reaping wages. And the reason why we're not reaping our wages is because we're not laborers. According to the Bible, it is a laborer who deserves his wages. Do you get it? So we are not working. That's why we are not getting our wages. You can't show up at some company tomorrow and say, "Can I have some wages, please?" Yeah. So, please. I just happen to be passing by and I notice it's Friday. You must be paying some employees, right? May I have a paycheck too? Yeah. May I have a paycheck too? No. Wages are for workers. Do you get it? Wages are for who? If you want to earn some wages, you better get to the job. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you want to earn some wages, if you want God to bless you, if you want to prosper, start working for God. I said, if you want to prosper, do what? Start working for God. After all, you've worked hard enough for yourself. Do you get it? If you were going to prosper from that, you should have known that by now. Amen. Salaries don't make people prosper. Very few jobs offer a salary that creates prosperity. Most jobs offer salaries that are just enough to keep the person coming back to work over there. Many times the salary is just enough to cover the cost of going there and the cost of sleeping somewhere to go there and the cost of driving there and then something small to eat while you are there. And then they toss on top of that the office milk. That's why my friend was drinking it like that. Because he felt it was part of his salary. Are you with me? Yes. The salary, you know, he said, he that reapeth, receiveth wages. Since the fields are white already, it's time to harvest. And if you will apply yourself to it, God has promised to give you wages. God will reward you.
Amen.
God will reward you.
Amen.
That is why Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Let me close by giving you, I'm going to give you four verses that prove that if you work for God, he will pay you your wages. Do you want four verses? The first one is Matthew 6, 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. It says, "But seek ye first," everybody read, 1, 2, 3, go. "But seek ye first, One more time, please. Seek and all these things shall be what? Shall be added unto you. I think the day we read this verse, remember we read what all these things are. Isn't it? God will add to you a house. Yeah. Yeah, many of you, you know the work you're doing, you can't easily buy a house from it. Yes. So does it mean you will never own a house? Is that what it means? God says that if you work for me, you get it. He says that you will have.
Yes. I receive.
Yes. God will bless you.
Amen.
Yes. God will bless you with a house. A blessing will add itself to your office, your efforts. You won't even know how, but God will bless you. You will also own a house. Hallelujah. It says you seek first the kingdom of God. First. Not you first. God first. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. God first. Not in the beginning, you. And then God last. Many of us put God last. And we've put ourselves first all the time, and it hasn't yielded anything. Can you not see that putting yourself before God has not really done much for you? It's not too late to reverse it. I said it's not too late to reverse it. Hallelujah. Right? So this is the first verse. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at the second verse. Job chapter 36, verse 11. Job chapter 36, verse 11. Right? Everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. If what a verse. Can you see that? So if you are not spending your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures, check your obedience and your service. If they obey and they serve. Remember, the verse we read from Ephesians said that to prepare God's people for works of service. So if they obey and they serve, will spend their days in prosperity. Prosperity is not a bad word in the church. It's when we try to get it without doing what brings it that causes the prosperity to have a bad name. Gives our prosperity a nickname. Today you have churches that want the prosperity without the service. It's like a person who wants a car without a job. By all means, you're going to do something wrong. Yeah. You are not likely to have a good name trying to have a car without a job or without paying for it. By all means, you are going to cause some problem. You steal somebody's car, then people are going to talk about it. So you'll be riding even in the car. The glory is gone. It's not beautiful anymore. And that is how it is. Sometimes you can see that there's a forced prosperity. People are trying to appear prosperous. And they've gone to borrow money, borrow cars, take loans, all sorts of things. And then the car looks up, it's shining outside, but it's full of debt. You can't even enjoy it. Some people have bought more car than they can insure. Yeah. So as you're driving the car, there's no insurance. And you are calling it prosperity. And as you drive your car around and people pass compliments, you feel good. So your car is good. Looks good. Wow. They say it suits you. Then you just do this. Fake prosperity. Yes. Every time you're going to sleep, some people park their car at a different place from where they live. So when the repossessor comes, they won't find the car. Yeah. So they go and park the car. They park the car at Walmart parking lot, and then they walk home. Yes. So when the guy who comes to repossess the car comes in the night, he will not see the car in the driveway. What kind of prosperity is this? Some people have bought a car, they can't put gas in it. As you're driving, instead of watching the road, you're watching the gauge. The fuel gauge. You see? Yeah. That's why the traffic light is red. You can't see. And you're going through it to get a ticket. You can't even enjoy the car. Because every time when you come to church, someone says, please give me a ride. You're angry. When you see the person who lives somewhere on the road to your house or something, and the person starts to walk towards you for a ride, you say, "Oh no, I'm going to Walmart. I'm not going home today after church." You get it? And then when the person turns around, you look behind the person. I'm not taking you home. You are not prospering. You cannot even put gas in your car. Your prosperity is fake. But I can see sometimes people jump into fake prosperity because they are just tired of their life. Your car is old. You struggle with the old car for a long time. So just out of frustration, not qualification. Frustration is not qualification. The fact that you are frustrated doesn't mean you are qualified to change it. But some people just go out of their frustration, just go and sign on a new car. Then the dealership will look at them and say, "Ha, we got you." Yeah. The guy wants a car by all means. So they say, "Take this one." Yeah. We make the payments so you can pay. How much can you pay? $250 a month. No problem. Just work it out. Just, yeah. Then they sell you a car. The car costs $15,000. Then they give you interest rate of 35%. Yeah. And then they break the payments down. You pay only $250 a month for the next 12 years. Yes. Then after you drive a car for a while, you see that the car is finishing, but the debt is not finished. The car is becoming old, but the money is becoming new. Yes, the car is going down, but what you owe on it is going up. Before you know it, you are upside down. Do you get it? You owe more than the car is worth. So even if you take the car back to the dealer, you still owe him money. It's fake prosperity that makes people do that. See, somebody will call the pastor. Pastor, come and dedicate my car. The pastor is just dedicating a debt. Says, lay hands on the debt. Lay hands on the bank's car. Then the pastor might as well lay hands on the ATM machine. I see you having a car you don't own. I say, I see your car paid off. You to spend your days in prosperity. When you drive the car, it's your own. You turn on the music and you'll be playing air condition. You palm the car like that. Then you just, you know, just be moving. Sometimes you drive slow, sometimes you drive fast. You're not afraid of anything. Because it is your car. All fake prosperity is ended in the name of Jesus. handbags that are not paid for. Yeah. Hair that's not paid for. Prosperity. Your hair is not paid for. The owner is going to come and pull it off one day. One day during praise and worship, as you lift up your hand, the owner will just come and just carry it away. Your clothes are not paid for. Your television is not paid for. Your sound system is not paid for. No wonder when anybody touches this, you are angry. And no one can understand why you get so angry so easily. Not knowing is not yours. We have TV too, we can't watch. As though if we watch it, it will finish. The color in the TV will finish. Not knowing it is because it's not paid for. It's fake prosperity. But you will not walk in fake prosperity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years. That means you're going to enjoy your life. Say, so you're going to enjoy your life. Learn to enjoy your life. If you obey God, God will teach you how to live and how to enjoy your life. Do you know how to enjoy life? It's an art. Yeah, how to enjoy, how to be happy. Some people don't know how to be happy. They just know how to exist. But you don't know how to convert your existence into a happy existence. But God is going to show you. God is going to teach you. God will open your eyes to pleasures. Things that are nice that you never even thought were nice. Sometimes you're going through life too fast. So you don't even have the time to even enjoy the things that you have. Even the food that you are eating. You can't even sit down to eat. Because every time when you are eating very fast. And it is very hot, so you don't chew it. You swallow. You put food in your mouth. You swallow. You put food in your mouth. You swallow. So you know you are full, but you didn't taste the food. God is setting you free from that lifestyle. A new era is coming in your life. Where God will give you appreciation for lawns, for beautiful neighborhoods, for parks, for beaches, for lakes, for swimming pools, for going for walks. God will give you a sensitivity to the moon. And you will notice when it's full. You will notice when it's a quarter. You will start to appreciate the twilight. You go for walks with your beloved. Yes, you go for walks with your husband. Yes. Not walking fast and then he has left you behind. And then ask you, are you coming? Say, if you are not coming, you'll be there. Hallelujah. Are you ready for one more verse? Two more verses. I owe you two more verses, right? The next one, I'll tell you. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. It says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Hallelujah. Can you see that? He says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness from the midst of thee. A lot of sickness comes from what we eat and drink. Bread and water that is not blessed produce sickness. And God says, if you serve me, if you do, to serve someone means to do something for the person. So it's time to stop asking, what will God do for me? And you should be asking, what can I do for God? Because what will God do for me appears to add very little to your life compared to what you do for God and what it adds to your life. Hallelujah. He said, you shall serve the Lord and he shall bless. You must serve. Your job is to do what? To serve. And then he will do what? Bless. God is going to bless you as you serve him. I said, God will bless you as you serve him. And I like how he says, I'll bless your bread. You got the bread, but getting the bread is only part A. The fact that you can afford food. These days, even today, we're chatting and we're saying that, you know, it looks like God has made life such that when you can eat a lot, you cannot afford it. By the time you can afford it and eat a lot. Have you noticed that? When you are young, full of ability and giftedness, and can eat, you can eat a whole chicken, like three of them. You can't afford it. When you have gone through life and advanced a little bit and they have become more secure and you have a bit of a salary and you can afford to eat it, then you are banned from eating all. Yes. When you can afford it, that's when the doctor said you shouldn't eat it. Don't eat it. Yeah. So don't eat meat. When you can afford to eat like a whole rack of ribs. Yeah. You take the pig and the whole left side is for you. Yeah. And the doctor says, if you like, try. You can't eat it. So having it is one thing. But whether the thing is blessed. You can't bless it. You can provide it, maybe. But you can't bless it. You can't bless it. God has to bless your food. God has to bless what you eat. In today's world, where our food is so charged with hormones and pesticides and insecticides and, you know, they're genetically modified foods and all kinds of food that doesn't rot. Vegetables that don't go bad. Yes. French fries that doesn't spoil. You try, you go and buy McDonald's fries or something like that. It doesn't spoil. You know, you leave it, if you forget it, your children forget it in your car. After 2 weeks, you see it's still there. Only difference is cold. Do you see? And these are the things you eat. Plastic food. Yes. All sorts of things. You see, you go to some places, the meat, they paint it. Yes. The meat is painted. You see that the meat, they have put the paint like an... You see, fish used to be sold by fishermen and fishmen. Now it's sold by artists. You get it? Artists who sell fish, people who have paint, and they paint the fish for you to eat. How do you know? The greed of man. Do you get it? As long as a greedy person is selling your food, you can never guarantee what you're eating. A greedy person is cooking your food for you. You can never guarantee what's in it. So, in today's world, blessed food is premium. You need it. Those of us who get food and quickly charge and start eating it as though we are possessed. instead of taking time to say a meaningful prayer over your food, as though your life depends on it, you just say, blessed, blessed. And then God bless the farmer, the cooker, and the eater. Silly, silly, senseless prayers. Instead of blessing the food as though your life depends on it. From today, don't eat or drink anything without blessing it.
Amen.
Take some time to be grateful for it and to bless it. Because when your food is blessed and your water is blessed, then sickness is taken away from the food. Say amen. Amen. As you serve the Lord, He will bless your food. Hallelujah. And then the last one, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, then shall ye return. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Can you see that? It says, then shall ye return, right? And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. God says there will be a difference. He says in the long run, there will be a difference. When it's all over, there will be a difference between the one who serves God and the one who serves him not. Ask your neighbor, which one are you? Okay, ask them, which one are you going to be? Which one are you going to be? From tonight, which one are you going to be? What did they say? What did they say? They're going to be the one who serves God. Yes. God says there'll be a difference. There'll be a difference. There'll be a difference in the quality of your life. There'll be a difference in your children.
Amen.
There'll be a difference in your marriage.
Amen.
There'll be a difference in the level of peace that you enjoy.
Amen.
There'll be a difference. People will wish they had your life.
Amen.
Yeah, people will envy you. People will tell you that, you know, you anytime you try to counsel them, they will tell you that as for you, everything is okay for you. That's why. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
They'll say, if you were me, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying. Yeah, people are going to wish they had your life. Him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I pray that God will put service in your heart. I pray that God will touch your heart to serve him, to be evangelistic. To be a soul winner, practicing the ministry of reconciliation. Let that be the portion of this church in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let us pray. Just bow your heads, everybody, just. Begin to pray. Can the gentleman play the piano, please? Let's just pray. Everybody pray and say, Lord, I want to be one of those who will serve you. I want to be a soul winner. I want to activate my soul winning ministry. If you say there will be a difference between he that serves you and he that does not serve you, I want to be one of those who serve you. I want to be one of those who makes the blood of Jesus count. I want to be one of those who do what God wants us to do. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, I want to obey you. And I want to serve you. I want to obey you and I want to serve you. I want to obey you and I want to serve you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mashaka fala malababa. Wanna sit at your feet, drink from the fountain of, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the fountain, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I walk the path. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same, be the same again. I will never be the same as same. I'll never return. I will never return. I've closed the door. I'll walk the path. I'll walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same. Be the same. Again, fall like fire, fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again, sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff. And let a flame burn to glorify your name. Oh, there are higher heights. There are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do it. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again, and I will be the same, and I will never be the same again. And I will never be the same, yes, and I will never be the same, lift up your hand to the Lord, everybody, and say, and I will never be the same, nigh, and I will never be the same, be the same.